is the fourth Sunday of Lent, and that means we are just 3 weeks out from Easter. Who's excited about that? Yeah, me too. So Easter takes place on the day before April Fool's Day. And Lent began on Valentine's Day. And Lent is that season that leads us to the cross and gets us ready for Easter, where we celebrate the resurrection following God's demonstration of love on the cross. And so we're calling our Lenten series Foolish Love. And today, we're going to find out how foolish love is unfair. Take out your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. Our scripture reading will be verses 1 through 16, and I encourage you to follow along as we hear the good news. Here in Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, Jesus is teaching and he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After he agreed with the workers to pay them a denarian, he sent them into his vineyard. And then he went out around 9 in the morning and saw others standing around the marketplace doing nothing. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right.' And they went. And again around noon, and then at 3 in the afternoon, he did the same thing. And then around 5 in the afternoon, he went and found others standing around and said to them, 'Why are you just standing around here doing nothing all day?' 'Because nobody has hired us,' they replied. And he responded, 'Well, you also go into the vineyard.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the workers and give them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and moving on finally to the first.' And when those who were hired at 5 in the afternoon came, each one received a denarian. And now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarian. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner. 'These who were hired last worked 1 hour, and they received the same pay as we did, even though we had to work the whole day in the hot sun.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I did you no wrong. Didn't I agree to pay you a denarian? Take what belongs to you and go. I want to give this one who was hired last the same as I give to you. Don't I have the right to do with what I want with what belongs to me? Or are you resentful because I'm generous? So those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last." It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we worship you today and as we meditate on this passage, your foolishness confounds the wise. So may we be fools for you and find your love and power in our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. It's not fair. You know, Kelly was right. It wasn't fair. You ever say that? Yeah? What about your kids? They ever say that? Oh, you know they did. You know, when Philip and Laura were growing up, that was something they would often say. When one of them got to do something that the other one didn't, or when their friends got to do something that they couldn't do, it's not fair. And the friend would usually respond with, "Life's not fair." You know, she tried to make things fair, though. Like Kelly, it's in her nature, but it's not always possible. And so two lessons Fran instilled in her children were, you can do anything you set your mind to, and life's not fair. And you know, when Philip joined the army after college, that lesson came in handy. Because he quickly learned, going through basic training before officer school in Fort Benning, Georgia, that he discovered that they were all in it together, and what each of them did affected the rest of them. If he messed up, it affected the rest of them, and if one of them messed up, it affected him. But it really seemed unfair when it was the same one or two people that were always messing up, and it was affecting the whole platoon, and it was seemed completely unfair. But then one day, Philip's commanding officer, who had been absent most of the rotation, he shows up and he decides that their Bravo company has been completely undisciplined and he's going to punish them. And he recycles about 10% of the battalion. It's a lot of people. And it was for relatively minor stuff when in his absence, a whole lot worse things had happened. And that felt unfair for those guys who got in trouble for relatively minor things. But then there were times when perhaps his platoon didn't respond to the drill sergeant with the enthusiasm that he wanted, and they'd all get smoked, meaning they'd all have to drop and do push-ups right then and there. That didn't always feel fair, but one day it seemed particularly unfair when it was family visitation day and we're all there watching and they all got smoked right in front of us. Yeah, he didn't think that was very fair. But by this time, Philip knew life wasn't always fair. And I think many of us have learned this too, but we've all often felt it. We felt that, man, that's just not fair. And if we had our choice or our way, things would be fair because we want things to be fair. We want the world to be fair. We try to raise our children in a fair world. We want everybody to have the same opportunities and to make the same good effort and to get the same good rewards and benefits. But unfortunately, that's just not reality. When we turn to scriptures, Proverbs tells us that fairness is a prerequisite to wisdom. And the prophets linked fairness with righteousness. And that when fairness was uncertain, then life was uncertain. That fairness was a core value in scripture. But then we read some other things. Like one day, two women bring this child to King Solomon, considered the wisest man ever in the world. And they're in this predicament and they need his wisdom to help solve their problem because each woman claimed that the child was their own and they argued and accused the other woman of rolling over on their child in the middle of the night and that child dying. And so they wanted the king to decide which child was theirs. And Solomon, in his wisdom, makes an absurd proclamation of twisted fairness. He offers to solve the dispute by saying, "Bring me my sword. I'll cut the child in half and give each mother half the kid." Well, the woman who had already lost her child thought, okay, that's fair. But the other woman, whose child it was horrified and yelled, "No, give the whole child to her so that the child can live." And it was then that Solomon knew who the real mother was. Except when we think about this story, was it really fair? Because that mother risked losing her child in that moment of unfairness. She was willing to forgo raising and having her own child to save his life. She was willing to give up the child she loved most so that the child could live. And when we look closer, we see that Jesus teaches us some similar lessons that life is not always fair. Perhaps the kingdom of God isn't always fair. In fact, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven was like this landowner, the vineyard owner. He hires a worker in the morning to go out and work from sun up to sundown, and they agree before he begins work that he will pay him a denarian or a day's wage. And for simplicity's sake, let's say it's $100. And so the guy goes to work. But then the landowner goes back out to the square, to the town square, and he finds more people, and he keeps bringing them back. Every couple hours, he's bringing more and more people back. Even after lunch, he keeps bringing people back. And then it's almost at the end of the day, there's just an hour left before sunset, and he's bringing more people to work in the vineyard. And at the end of the day, he collects all the workers together to pay him, and he starts with those that got there last. And he gives them $100. And everybody he starts paying, he gives them all $100. Even those that got there first still got $100. And they were furious because they had been there from sun up to sundown out in the hot sun, and they thought, it's not fair. They were only here an hour, and I've been here all day. And the landowner replies, "Hey, didn't we have a deal? Or are you angry because I'm being generous to someone else?" Another time, Jesus tells a story about a man who had 100 sheep. And then something happens, and he loses one of those sheep. Somehow it had wandered off. It got lost. We don't know exactly how it got lost, but we know that it was lost. And many people, they would have just counted their losses and gone on. But not this man. No, instead, he takes the 99 sheep and he puts them on a hillside and he goes out looking for that one lost sheep. He decides not to leave it for the wolves. He's going to go out and he's going to find it. And then when he does, he's happier about finding that one lost sheep than he is about the 99 who never got lost. And Jesus says, this is what heaven is like. What? What's up with that? That doesn't seem fair at all, because it wasn't the 99's fault that the one got lost. It wandered off on its own. It was totally unfair to the 99 that they got left alone. It's totally unfair that the shepherd went out and gave all that personal attention to that one lost sheep. That's unfair. And then it becomes abundantly clear that God and the kingdom of heaven are unfair. But here's the thing. These parables, these stories aren't here to show us about the fairness of God. Instead, they're to let us know that God is not an equitable God, that God is not a utilitarian God. And in fact, God will act in unfair ways, or as Kelly said, more than fair, to show us, to show me, to show you God's love. Jesus is letting us know that God isn't always fair, because sometimes life is unfair. And when we think about it, you know, God's grace is God's love in action. And none of us deserve God's grace. Yet God gives it to us anyway. It's God's gift. And that's how God's foolish love is unfair. In 1 Colossians 1:18, Paul says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are being destroyed, but that it's the power of God to those who are being saved. It's the power of God to us. And the love of God is foolishness to the world, because the love of God is unfair. But if we want to think about and measure what's fair or what's really unfair, it was unfair that Jesus was arrested under the cover of darkness that night. It was unfair that the religious leaders had witnesses giving false statements against Jesus. It was unfair that they let Barabbas, a violent murderer, go instead of Jesus. It was unfair that Jesus had to carry that cross up Golgotha and be nailed to it as an innocent man. And it was unfair that the most perfect person ever died the most torturous death when Jesus died on the cross in our place, taking all of our sin and shame. It's unfair. But it's also unfair how often that we are the laborers that show up in that last hour in the field, or that we are that lost sheep. It's unfair that we're often the mother who lost their child, or like the prodigal son, or we're like the brother who stoned his brother, or the one who said hurtful and harmful things to our neighbor, and yet that God is still with us, that God still protects us, that God still loves us. That's unfair. But this is God's love for each and every one of us. This is mercy. And mercy is not fair. Mercy means you don't get the punishment you deserve. This is grace. And grace is not fair. Grace means you get the good things that you don't deserve. And this is justice. And justice is not fair. Justice is the result of mercy and grace that restores what was lost, that fills the gaps, that levels the playing field, and in the end, it makes everything equal. And I say in the end because it's not in the beginning. We all like to believe in the dream that we all are created equal, that we all start with the same opportunities, but the truth is, that's a lie. That we are not all gifted and graced in the same ways. We are born into different families, under different circumstances, in different socioeconomic classes, and in different racial contexts. And we are born and we live in an unfair world. So we need a God who is not fair. We need a God who is willing to give us more than we deserve. We need a God who is willing to chase after us, even when it's our own fault that we're lost. And we need a God who rejoices when he finds us. We need a God whose love is so foolish, it's unfair. And that's the God we have. Amen?